The following program is a presentation of the FlyPod New Media Network. www.theflypod.com.
My name is Elbert Lewis Jr.
And I'm Alan McIntyre. And together we welcome you back to our show, Black on Black Commentary. And the intended audience for our show is the black community, yet others are encouraged and welcome to tune in. Each and every one of us has a unique bias when it comes to change or certain subjects. And I should warn you that the content of our program episodes is probably unlike anything you've heard coming out of the black community.
Again, I'd like to welcome you back and encourage you to keep an open mind and think for yourself. If you're not African American, we hope you'll listen in to our show as well. Our program is intended to educate our listeners and provoke serious thought. Each of our episodes will deal with a different topic of importance. Are you ready for some open and honest black on black commentary? Great, because it's time we talked.
Elbert, off air, we were kind of talking about the Syrian refugees and how the Obama and the Democrat administration wants to bring them over by the tens of thousands. And I mentioned to you how I thought that wasn't a good idea and how I thought that was ridiculous. In particular, if these liberals, these Democrats are so eager to help the refugees out, they certainly have an opportunity here in America to help out what I would deem to be our American refugees. A lot of the poor in the urban core in the inner cities. But I don't see them rushing to go and adopt, you know, these people in these black communities, in these urban black communities. I don't see the same push that I see for them that I currently see for the Syrian refugees. And I think that's just another example of how liberals don't put their money where their mouth is.
I kind of agree with that, but I kind of approach it from a different direction. And I'm not just talking about African Americans. I'm talking about all Americans, white Americans, Hispanic, whatever. We're born and raised in this country. And it just seems to me that if you got your act together, you probably shouldn't be concerned about immigrants coming to this country that can't even speak the language. Now, terrorism aside, that's a whole different other issue. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to natural born citizens, if there's any kind of personal responsibility, any kind of self-reliance, any kind of personal initiative, shouldn't you be able to make your way in this system? I mean, to my way of thinking, it don't get any easier than this.
Well, when you're preconditioned that you're a victim, you know, how do you overcome that preconditioning?
Examples. We see examples all the time of people who do exert some personal responsibility, who do go after their American dream, who made it work for them. And some of these same people are sitting in the desk next to other people in school. They work alongside them. They know, they see them, and they know that if you do enough of the right things and refrain from doing self-destructive things, that you can make it in this country. But that's not what I hear from a lot of black people.
Well, many black people, I believe, they don't identify themselves as Americans. They don't identify with the American dream.
There you go.
And if you don't do that, then you can't necessarily have any real interest at being successful here in America. I don't know what you're looking for, where you're looking to be successful, but you have to identify with where you are and where you're at, you know, where you're at right now at this point in time in your life if you want to be successful. They don't identify with being an American, so they don't even understand the concept of the American dream because they're un-American in their thought process.
Right. Because I heard something a little while ago. They were talking about some a new housing development. You know, it's some really kind of pricey condos going up, and it's supposed to be really nice. And a lot of black people that are calling this talk show, they were saying, it's not for us. And I started thinking, the housing is there if you've have the resources, you can get one of those condos or whatever. Well, so that's the key. Why is it not for us?
Well, they're saying that because at this point in time in their life, they don't have the resources, and they blame that on Republicans. You know, that's what the Democrat Party.
Okay, that's so, fine. Well, now, here's the thing. Pricey condo is one thing, but a public park. It used to be drug ridden.
Well, now that right, and at that point in time, it was perfectly acceptable.
Right.
So you're saying, as a black person, you prefer the park that has needles laying around and high crime,
as opposed to this nice new park
where they're having movies at night and bands playing in the park and things going on like that. So that just shows you how depraved our mindset is. But let me say this:
before the renovation, this is the same park where the police were pursuing the suspect.
I remember
it
that
ran over. A homeless woman, I guess she had some cardboard or something over her house, and the police, not realizing there was a human being on there, ran over and killed her and pursuing. That was, I guess, the—
And that was turned into a racial issue.
Right. But that was the incentive for cleaning up the park, right?
Right.
And but now that it's this nice, really nice park, they're having concerts there, and I mean, all of a sudden, the black people in the neighborhood are saying, that is not for us.
Well, listen to this. Let me make this point. Those black people making that claim have lost their damn black minds. And I'm going to tell you why. Because the city allowed black people to do whatever they wanted, whenever they wanted in downtown for years. They had every opportunity to purchase property, redevelop property, improve it, and they chose not to. So then when you have a majority of white people involved with it, when they come in and they decide, okay, we're going to take this property, we're going to redevelop it, we're going to do something good with it, black people immediately talk about how it's not for us. Well, you're right. It isn't for you. If you don't have the income to purchase these things, if you don't have the ability to go out and eat at these restaurants because of your own lack of effort, then it's not for you. But there are plenty of black people who it is for. They can afford these condos. They can afford to go and eat at the nice restaurants. So don't say it's not for all black people. And it's not even for all white people. Because there's many white people that fit into that category that can't afford the housing down there, that can't afford to eat and go to the arts and entertainment down there. So it's not just a black thing.
But
it's an economic thing.
A lot of poor people don't acknowledge the fact that there are a heck of a lot of white people who are in the same boat.
Same predicament.
Didn't get an education, had kids you can't afford, don't know how to raise, might have a drug problem, might have a record that prevents you from getting a decent job. But they don't face racism. So a lot of people who claim that racism is the thing that's making our life this terrible situation. But if racism disappeared, how would they be any better off than the poor white people who don't face racism, who lack that personal responsibility to do something with their lives, to make something of their lives?
If racism as a word and as a concept, let me put it like that, was non-existent, you would still have all these people in the same predicament.
Absolutely.
Because they are in this predicament because of choices that they have made. You know, when you picked up the crack pipe or the heroin needle, that's a choice that you made. Nobody forced you to do that. Now, I hear people say, well, I was depressed. I was going through a tough economic time or whatever, and I turned to this. Well, you made that choice. There's numerous other things in this society that you could have turned to. No matter how you spin it, it goes back to personal choice. So, you know, as far as them saying it's not for us, and by the way, I go downtown and I enjoy myself.
There's another aspect of this. That's fine that we say, hey, if you don't exert some sense of responsibility, then you're stuck living the life that you're living. But if the numbers get so great, the numbers of people who are in that boat, that impacts you and me, the middle class, the people who are productive. Because as the gap between the productive and the non-productive grows,
resentment grows.
But also there's a financial impact because we're not going to let those people starve in the street.
Right.
And so money has to come out of my pocket and your pocket in the form of taxes or
charitable contributions, which I just described, gave you an example of how, you know, what we're doing, how that's
but the
going
lion's on. Share, the great majority comes.
Yeah,
no, taxes.
I know. I get that. Yeah.
And so as this group of non-productive people grows, I see a huge problem in the future because we know the education gap is getting worse, the unemployment gap and financial wealth gap is getting worse. And so where does it end? Do we wind up with a permanent underclass?
We will always have a permanent underclass because people will always make bad choices and bad decisions. And we may as well get over the fact that there will always be a permanent underclass. You know, Obama and the Democrats like to talk about how they want everybody to be at least in a certain place. Mm-hmm. That's unrealistic. It's not going to happen. You can give people everything they need to be in that place that you want them to be in, and a good number of them will do something destructive to cause them to fall back to where they were. So, you know, and that's just human nature.
How good do we want them to live? If you're someone that's not working for a living, what kind of a lifestyle are we willing to support? To what level are we willing to support them? The middle class, upper middle?
No. If you're not doing anything and we're forced to support you because we don't want you dying in the streets, then we give you just enough to survive on.
But the Democrats don't seem to be happy with that.
Well, I don't see them.
Take the minimum wage, for example. It was never intended to support a family.
Right.
When I was a teenager, you know, minimum wage was for kids who first entered the job market, and you didn't have any skills, and this was a job that you learned the skills, and then as you became more knowledgeable and skillful, you moved up and you made more money. But now these people feel like they're entitled, because they show up for a job, they're entitled to a certain level of income that might not be commensurate with their value to the company or their output to the company.
Let me say this. Many liberal, in particular liberal white Democrats, like to talk about how they are privileged and how they're benefiting from being white, okay? Mm-hmm. So, which I don't believe that. But let's go with that narrative. But you never see them vacating their seat at the table of white privilege and offering it up to one of these minorities that they claim to champion. For example, Dinesh D'Souza has a video that was released a few days ago where he's debating with a young college kid at Amherst University, prestigious school, very costly school to attend. Mm-hmm. This kid gets up and he begins to talk about how he's privileged and he benefits from white privilege and so on and so forth, which we've done a show on that. And Dinesh D'Souza says to him, look, well, since you are talking about this, you believe in this wholeheartedly, and the kid is prescribing that other white Americans in this society, you know, should give something up because they benefit from white privilege. And Dinesh D'Souza said, well, I think you're a hypocrite, because if you really believe this, what you're talking about, then you would go to the registrar's office tomorrow, vacate your position here, your enrollment here, and hand it over to a black kid that you think is deserving. And then you go off somewhere and attend some state university. Of course, he wasn't willing to do that. And I was so glad that he called him out and put him in that spot just to call him on that bullshit rhetoric that he's spitting out anyway. Mm-hmm. You know, but like I say, and you know how it is. You know, you can talk about how you feel and how you want to help these people and how you're benefiting from white privilege. If you believe that, vacate your seat at the table of white privilege. Turn over your wealth and your resources to these black people that you're claiming you want to help so badly. But they're not going to do that. They're full of shit.
But that's fine, but aren't we, in fact, aiding and abetting people to be non-productive, sometimes
Absolutely.
For generations?
Absolutely.
And is that in the best interest of America, of our country? Because for a fact, they are producing faster than the productive people. So the problem is growing. And I see sometime down the line when we're going to have a situation where you have more unproductive people in this country than you have productive people.
We already have that.
Well, it's getting worse, and it's going to get worse. So what happens when you reach a tipping point where the productive can no longer support the unproductive?
Things begin to collapse, and we already see things beginning to collapse.
Well, and the problem I see is you got the Democrats
promising more. The national debt is the best example of things beginning
trillion.
To collapse. Why do you think that the debt is accelerating at the rate it's accelerating? Because we have to fund all these social service programs.
And we see the Democratic candidates promising trillions more.
They want to increase the spending. At some point in time, we're going to have to stop the spending and require that people be more accountable, put forth more effort, and greater economic responsibility. And I don't want to put all this on the poor. Let's talk about the middle class who outspend their income. Mm-hmm. They contribute to the problem.
Well, fine. If they want to live in debt, that's fine, as long as they make...
As long as
they service the debt... I don't have a problem with it, because I've been there before. I'm more astute now with how I deal with my finances. But that was a time when I felt like as long as I could service the debt, it wasn't a problem. I could go into debt, buy these things I wanted, But now I realize
that's an uncomfortable
the opportunity
feeling,
cost, the opportunity
that bill
cost
is coming.
Yeah, of paying all that interest over the years.
Mm-hmm.
Now that I look back, I felt that was nuts.
And that interest is money that you're throwing away that you could be investing in your own future.
Right, absolutely.
You know, so we got to look at it that way, too.
One more aspect that, of this that kind of bothers me about a large group of black people is that we're so fixated about
enamored with blackness.
Yeah, about the black issues that we don't tend to address the national or the international issues.
That affect our community.
Absolutely.
But aren't necessarily labeled as a black issue.
Right.
Now, and I'm glad you brought that up.
And it sounds like we don't have any credibility with those issues and people don't pay any attention to us about that aspect of it.
Well, black people had better begin to pay attention to things like radical Islam, the national debt, illegal immigration, and in particular, black-on-black crime and abortion. Those are all things that are destroying the black community as well as the American community. You know, but most black people, you're not going to walk into, say, a black American barbershop, for example, and hear them discussing the national debt.
Right.
Or having a discussion about radical Islam and its impact on America and our future and so on and so forth. So we've got to step outside of these so-called local black issues and begin to look at the bigger picture.
Or if they do talk about it, they address it in a way, they turn it around and make it part of the victimization. Like the white people are doing this to us.
Right.
They address it in that way.
That victimhood.
Yeah.
We always want to be the victim.
Well, in a way, I think that that's because it's aided and abetted by the system. Even when the Republicans are in charge, you don't see a concentrated, sustained effort to wean people off of the system.
And you're right, and that's because you have those weak rhinos, those weak establishment Republicans that are so fearful of being called a racist that they get in office and get in power and won't do the right thing.
Well, something's got to change. I believe we're headed for a big fall if we don't do something serious about the non-productive people, and we certainly don't need to be importing more of them.
Absolutely.
Give us some thought, and together, perhaps we can all ensure our country's future history and have it be something we could be proud of.